All right, stand by, folks. It's Sunday morning. Time for Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. We have a lot to talk about. Florida-Georgia game. In the Orange and Blue room is this guy right here, Ben Troop, coming your way next right here on Orange and Blue Blood Sunday with Buddy Martin, Ben, and Lauren Meadows.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Good morning and welcome to the program. I'm Buddy Martin. This program airs during the weekend on Sundays. It's Orange and Blue Blood. We're glad to be with you. I hope you survived the weekend. It was a tough week for Gator fans, I got to say. I mean, after all, the recruiting news, which was not good, we'll talk more about that later. And, of course, the game yesterday. You can take from it what you want to. I'm sure Pastor Ben Troop will be along in a minute. He'll have a word to say. I'm not going to preach for him this morning because I can never measure up to his standards. But I want to say that there's at least one or two takeaways that I like. And I'm going to share those with you. And I'm also going to talk about the dangers of using a quote-unquote crystal ball to make projections about 17-year-old kids. That's where you start. So we'll do that and we'll talk a lot more about the game yesterday, Florida losing 42-20. You can't deny that no matter what. That's a fact. It happened. It was not a good first half at all. There was something to talk about in the third quarter. But, it's what happens when you play the best team in America, right? And just about what I expected is what happened. Now, moral victories is something we don't talk about. But there's got to be a new name for things, the parts that you'd like to talk about. This guy always finds something to talk about. This morning's program brought to you by Titan MRI. After this message, Ben Troop will be here preaching to us on Orange Blue Blood Sunday.
Things have certainly got a little out of hand lately when it comes to just buying our everyday necessities. Just look at gas, streaming services, and heck, even chicken wings. Well, there is one necessity that shouldn't cost a ton. Taking care of yourself and helping fix all the aches and pains in life, and the fine folks at Titan MRI agree. With costs a fraction of what you'd pay at a hospital, you'll not only save money, you'll be taken care of by staff with over 20 years experience. So when you need an MRI, call Titan first, and you can go where your doctors send their families. Now offering CAT scans. Things have certainly got a little...
All right, thanks very much, Jeff Cardozo. It was so good you want to do it twice. Let's go to the Orange and Blue room and talk to the man with the hat. He watched it yesterday. I can't wait to hear his comments. But I don't know if you heard what I said, Ben, when I started, is that the game turned out like we kind of expected. I mean, you can't really say it was great or good, but you can't say it was all bad. Because I saw something in there that I want to talk about, which is what you're looking for is building blocks, and I saw one. But before I go off, I say good morning to you on an Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. How are you? Hope your event went well, your Thursday night Florida-Georgia Hall of Fame event. You'll tell us about that. But first of all, people want to know, what was Ben Troop's takeaway?
My takeaway from the game is real similar to what you said, buddy. I don't do the moral victories either. But they showed fight. I said this. I said, going into this game, you're going up against the number one team in the country. How you look for four quarters, not one quarter, not a half. And the thing about this Florida team is this. You gave up 14 points in the second half, right? You gave up 28 in the first half. But everybody knows, I don't care what no one says, when it was 28-20, I want you to look at that Georgia sideline. Fear was in those guys' eyes. Because in their mind, we up 28-3. This game is over. We're going to come out in the second half. And it, Amari Burney, the play that he gave up to Brock Bowers, that's just a 50-50. But for him to come back and make that pick, they're trying to run the same route. For him to make that pick, Perkins getting that big pick on the sideline, because in a sense, that receiver has the ball, and he just took it from him. Anthony Richardson, no turnovers, right? No turnovers against a defense that's very, very opportunistic. And what hurt Florida the most was we couldn't run the ball on offense, and we could not stop the run on defense. Because with everything that happened, if Florida can find a way to stop the run and run the ball more efficiently, I'm not saying we win the game. I'm just saying it's a totally different game. And let's shout out to Georgia. Georgia shows the difference in a good team and a great team. They found a way to close. McIntosh with the big he has a big fumble caused by Burney, picked up by Trey Dean, and they kept giving him the rock, gave him a chance to come out in the second half. But buddy, we showed growth. That's what Florida showed, because Billy Napier understands that when it comes to his team, he got a quarterback in Anthony Richardson, who was growing up before our eyes. This is Anthony Richardson's eighth game in this offense. I don't know how many games it's been for Stetson Bennett, right? But Brock Bowers, he had the big touchdown catch on the 50-50 ball for him and Amari Burney. You could deal with that. Trey Dean, when he had it, we had a big catch against Trey Dean one-on-one. Trey Dean got to come up with that one. It was athlete versus athlete. Mm-hmm. But I like the growth, buddy, because this is the thing. You know, obviously the fan in me wanted Florida to win, but the optimist in me, the analyst in me knew Georgia's just too tough, because they just keep coming. Like the thing, and I will say this, what we talk about every week, buddy, got to get a pass rush. Mm-hmm. You can't let Stetson Bennett sit in that pocket and just pick you apart. And that's what happened. I think Georgia had 3 sacks. We had no sacks for our defensive line, but Trey Dean showed some heart. I think Amari Burney, listen, we don't talk enough about him. He was given one of the hardest tasks guarding Brock Bowers one-on-one. That's going to be hard for
him. Oh, my gosh. This guy's so good, he's going on my Heisman ballot.
I mean, Brock Bowers is a very, very talented tight end. Obviously, him and Darnell Washington, the 1-2 punch, what they bring to the table. But what I liked the most about the game was when it's 28-3 going into the half, everybody was like, okay, what type of team are we going to be?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Xavier.
And that's the key. Excuse me if I interrupt you, man, but that is precisely the point I want to get to. What you just said right there, and I made my notes this morning, and I went through heard all the interviews. Excuse me if I interrupt the sermon. It's almost irreverent. But I just wanted to say, to underline what you're going to say now and respond to what you say, because I think it is the thing you could build on. Go.
Of course you can. Because, buddy, no matter what, current Florida teams get judged by previous Florida teams. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody said. Oh, if this was Dan Mullen in 2021, what happens? It's 28-3. Who are we? You come out in the second half and you score 17 unanswered points to make it 28-20, right? Getting ready, you know, at the end of the third quarter. I just know. I mean, this is the thing. I look at you, Dan, talking about those UGA tight ends are awesome. I mean, I like Darnell Washington. He didn't really hurt us that bad. 3 catches, 47 yards. He didn't get in the zone. If they ain't getting in the end zone, they ain't hurting you. And that's the thing about stats that people need to understand. If they're not affecting the scoreboard, it's just a bunch of stats. I mean, I give you Kyle Pitts in 2021, 1,000 yards receiving, 1 touchdown. You got to affect the scoreboard. Now, Brock Bowers, yes, because he got in the end zone. 2 touchdown passes for Stetson Bennett, 2 interceptions. Perkins, Burney, the guys made some big plays yesterday. But overall for a team, you kind of can see what happens when they start buying into what Billy Napier is saying, look, fellas, if we can find a way to put it together, 2 for 2 on field goals. Now, I'm not too keen on all these fourth down. Going forward on fourth down you can't just go for it to keep the momentum going, because on that last fourth down, when Anthony Richardson almost got sacked, you give him a short field. So I understand what Billy Napier be trying to do, buddy, and trying to build the confidence of the team. but you can't be putting the team, because you got to look at the consequence. If we don't get fourth down, you're giving the number one team in the country a short field. 42-20 is what it is. I am not taking nothing away from them Georgia boys. They found a way to get it done. But 28-20, at 28-20, right?
One score game.
Yeah,
right?
This is the thing, though, buddy. 28-20, right? That's when you take a timeout. That's when you say, come here, fellas. Listen. Breathe for a second. You see that? They are one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, is Rocky IV. He going up against Ivan Drago, and I don't know what round it was. They punch him, and you hear Rocky say he cut. It's a huge cut. They come to the corner, and Rocky trainer says, "See, he's not a machine. He's a man. He can be hurt like anybody else." I like the fight, buddy, because when I'm as a former football player, as a football enthusiast, as a lover of all things Florida Gator football, I just don't want to see us lay down. I respect what Kirby Smart is doing. I respect it. But, buddy, you know, feel like I know. Everybody said the same thing. Hey, man, we better do something when we come out of halftime, man, because if we look up and it's 34-3, 42, and now if the final score is 42-3, we're having a totally different conversation. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who it was that said on Twitter. This is what they said. Somebody said, I got a flight to Jacksonville. I got a hotel room. I got a rental car to come see Florida. And guess what? I'm happy I did. Cause they fought.
Yeah.
See, that's what you can't appreciate. I'm gonna say this again. Everybody who's loving up on Kirby Smart, I want you to go to Kirby Smart's first year, and I want you to see how many times he lost.
Right.
He lost to Vanderbilt. Right. And I'm not comparing us to him. I'm just saying we are 4-4. But every single game we lost, we was in. Hey, man, they got a powerhouse going on. I know Georgia, Tennessee is going to be crazy. I know game day is going to be there.
Yeah.
But, buddy, you know July Gano. You watch enough football to know this. I can tell you when a team quit. I can tell you when a team – pack it up.
And that's what it was. They could have folded their tents right there. And the season would have been written off, and that was it. Now, I've been around sports a long time, and you played them. I played at a lower level. But the competitive spirit is everything. And this is what I liken it to this morning, thinking out. I'm writing a cop. In sports, if you're a jockey and a horse, when you get to the final stretch, you're going to ask him for more. You better get it. If you don't get it, you're going to just forget about it. You're not going to get there. You got to know that your team or your horse or whatever it is has got something. A NASCAR driver, all right? NASCAR driver coming around the stretch of Daytona 500 to get to the home stretch. Mash on. They put the pedal to the metal. It's either there or it's not, Ben. What's underneath you is what matters in those two sports. Billy Napier was riding in that situation. He asked for more at halftime. He said, I got to have more. They came out. They were a different football team. And listen, Anthony Richardson, he said, the heck with it. I'm putting my body on the line. We're going to win this game, and I'm going to give it all I got. If I get hurt, I get hurt, you know, which was amazing. And look what happened.
I'm looking at Jeff Barrett saying bottom line, Florida's not a very good football team. That's not true, because this is why I say that, right? Obviously, bottom line wins and losses. I get it, right? But buddy, I said this: all four losses, we can pinpoint why they lost. Most of the time, it's just because the other team was just better. Tennessee, we can't get the Hail Mary off, right? I get that part. Kentucky, we just didn't show up. We just didn't show up on offense. I get that part as well. Mm-hmm. Right? When you talk about this Georgia game, what happens is, right? Every time Georgia, number one team in the country, Tennessee, I think, was the top 10 team we played them. I think it was a top 10 or top 25 matchup. We played Kentucky, right? And LSU is proven to be a better team than we thought they were, right? Proven to be a better team. Yeah. I think what happens is, buddy, is this. We're looking for certain indicators. When you're watching a football game, You got people that are just watching the game. For me, I'm looking for certain indicators. Amari Burney to come back and make a pick on the same play he gave up.
He played his butt off yesterday.
He did. Perkins to get that big pick.
Jadarius Perkins made a play. That's what I'm talking about. Remember, I keep telling you, I want to see people make plays in on
and
defense.
The thing is this. When it comes to the passing game, right, I would just say this. You're not going to beat a team with like Georgia if you're not pushing the ball down the field. You're not going to beat them going lateral. You got to get vertical on them. Justin Shorter continues to get better, right? Pearsall, Shorter, right? Talk about Henderson. Those guys are finding a way to continue to make plays. We knew it was going to be a tough out against the Georgia team. We knew that.
Well, it was a 22-point game for a reason. And by the way, if you happen to get the 22.5, you won, okay? And we didn't expect Florida to beat Georgia. But at halftime, I'm saying, Ben, this team better show up or they're in danger of folding their tents and going home. They had to have something when Billy Napier stepped on that gas or took his whip out in the home stretch or whatever it was. He needed to ask them for more, and they gave him more. Now, are we going to sugarcoat it? No, we don't sugarcoat stuff around here. We talk and tell it like I thought some of the play call in the first half was uninspiring and not very good. I thought they were being cautious with Anthony Richardson. I understand because he got injured, and we know he's fragile. But you know what? You know, he said, to hell with it. I'm going to play, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to make it happen. It tells you there's something in that tank, man. Let me just go to one comment from Billy, all right, and then we'll get back. Hold on.
I mean, it's a turnover, right? It's a turnover on downs, and turnovers affect the, you know, outcome of the game. So no different than them turning the ball over allowed us to get back in the game. You know, when we don't convert on fourth down, we turn the ball over to them. So, you know, we had our opportunities. We can coach better, and we can play better.
All right, so what he's talking about is, and this is you could criticize him for this. There's several things you can criticize him for. It was not a good decision to go for it on right at the beginning of the fourth quarter on fourth and six at the 49, what it was. That was a bad decision. We can say that now. We got 20-20. But, he, you know, when you play like he plays, you're going to have some of those. I like a little boldness, but on this particular time, he was wrong. And as I'm writing my column, I don't expect him to have scared money, but maybe I'll have a little cautious money once in a while. And that was a mistake. And there were mistakes made. But getting back to your point, and we'll hear another bite from Billy in a minute. In that locker room, as you said, Ben, there was fight, determination, and it wasn't good enough. But they gave everything they had. All you can ask from a team, Ben, is what? Leave it all on the field.
One of my favorite players of all time, I got a chance to play against, was named Brian Dawkins, Hall of Fame safety for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he's the only Clemson Tiger to ever get inducted to the Hall of Fame. Every time, Lito Shepard, the great Lito Shepard, who I played with for a couple of years out of Florida, played with him. And I asked him one time, I said, man, what is it about Brian Dawkins? He said, dude, he's going to give you everything he got. Let's win or lose, he's going to give you everything he got. And for me, buddy, I can appreciate fight. Coming from a player, look, let's just call it what it is. Most of us in life are front runners, not just in football. We good when everything is good. Mm-hmm. Who we really are is when it gets bad. I'm going to show you who I really am. Them boys came out 28-3 saying, all right, fellas, let's go. And you gave 17 unanswered. This is the thing. Great teams expect to win. Teams are trying to find their identity. They hope to win. Right now, when I look at Florida, we're in that in between, right?
Yeah, but they got hope. They do have hope.
Of course, buddy. And the thing is, right? The thing is this: when Billy Napier answers questions, he don't sugarcoat it. Yeah, man, it's a turnover. We got to make that play, right? And this is the thing. It's only a bad play when we don't make the play. It's a great play when we do.
Yeah.
When you make the play, he's a genius. When you don't make the play. But this is what I like. Billy Napier said, you know what scared money don't make money means? That means I have confidence in my players.
Yeah.
Players are always talking about, hey, coach, put the ball in my hands. When people say Napier needs to let Richardson throw the ball more, I mean, I'm just trying to – hold on. I just want to make sure that I'm looking at this right. Right? Because I don't want no nonsense. For people saying – he needs to let him throw it more. I am going to the stats here. Anthony Richardson threw the ball 37 times.
Well, there you go.
How many times do you think they're going? 37 times.
Yeah. That's too many.
That's like playing. That's not. That's a couple of throws short of playing in the Big Ten. That's how much they throw over there. 37 times is more than enough. Now he had 270 some yards, right? He had a touchdown. He had no picks, and he kept us out of harm's way with some of his athleticism. All I know is this: you build the confidence. You build the confidence, and buddy, it's almost like just imagine. Florida does win the game, right? Just say let's just go to Neverland. They win the game. What does that mean for Florida? How do they handle it? How do you handle beating the number one team in the country? Certain times, you got to find a way. You got to find a way to just keep playing, keep going back and forth with these guys. Because I know this: if the best team in the country just happens to be your rival in your division. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. My own Christian Gokel, who I work with, shout out to Christian Gokel, he said that was a hell of a halftime speech for Billy Napier. Because, buddy, it's like this. If I'm a writer, right, and you just brought me on, what are you looking for every time I put out something? Progress. Hey, man, you're getting better.
That's it. That's what I call a moral victory.
When I went through the SEC last night, Ole Miss beat Texas A&M, who was supposed to be second. Yes. Missouri, unranked Missouri beat number 25 South Carolina. Arkansas beat Auburn. Tennessee is still undefeated. Kentucky isn't who we thought they were. And all I'm saying is Alabama is, Georgia is, Ole Miss is. Everybody else, we're trying to find our way. But I will say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. I appreciate Florida yesterday. Because the same thing we're looking at as supporters, right, and analysts in Florida, that's what the world is looking at. Because the world is saying, hey man, they lost 42-20. They scored 20. Yeah, it was 28-3. And buddy, you know how it is. You gave up 14. If the first half, you give up 14 and not 28, and then you're going into the half maybe 14-3 instead of 28-3. Who knows? And that's the thing. The hardest thing about football is what if? What if we would have? And what if that wouldn't have? But it did. Shout out to them Georgia boys, because we know how long it's been for them to be able to be in the position they in. They ain't just arrived here yesterday. It took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for them. So shout out to them. But, buddy, I remember Dan Mullen said this. When Dan Mullen lost to Georgia by 7 points, they asked him after the game, hey, man, how close is Florida to Georgia? He said 7 points.
Yeah.
Are you telling me how close to Georgia? How close to Florida? Georgia? 22 points. 22 points. And I say that respectfully, because 14 in the second half, 28 in the first half, was some stuff that kind of didn't go our way. I can live with it, but I never ever want to lose. I get it. Maybe me getting older, I can process.
Yeah.
I can move side these things a little better. But buddy, when you saw that fight, you were like, all right, I don't like that they lost, but that fight that they show, that is what you build on.
Put that in a bottle and take it with you, because that's what you're going to build on. We're going to take a break, and we're going to hear from that after we hear from Lauren. And I want to talk to you about the reality of where things are right now, because I'm going to tell you what. There's 4 games on the table. How many are winnable? Okay, don't answer that right now. How many are winnable? And what did we say this team would do for the season? It's not that far off, despite losing to Georgia, which is always bitter. But you lost to the number one team in the nation. I'm not trying to talk to you now. Get mad. Whatever. Say your piece. Trash whoever you want to trash. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm ready at this point on the Orange and Blue Blood Sunday to say, those fair weather fans that want to go away, go on. We don't need you. Go and do what you got to do. We're fine. We'll see you around the curve here in a little bit. But for me, I think it's okay. And I think they're okay. And I think they're pretty much on schedule. All the rest of the talk on social media, I don't care about it. I really stopped getting. Remember, it was social media and the idea that Kamani McLean was going to be a Gator. 95%, they said, crystal ball. When you start talking like that, when you don't know what you're talking about, and you're making predictions when you don't have any idea what you're saying, and you never got that fact, you're just playing with fire. I wouldn't build my business on that model, and you wouldn't either, Ben. Stand by while we go hear from Jeffrey Meldon. Then we got another bite from Billy, and Lauren Meadows is standing by, too. So here is what Jeffrey Meldon's doing. He's playing in the band.
Well, I'm joining the band, of course. Since Meldon Law is the official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, I want to help.
Dad, we're litigators. Let's stick to helping people in the courtroom.
Well, can we still hang out and jam a little bit? At Meldon Law, we won't back down.
All right, thank you very much, Jeffrey Meldon. I appreciate that very much. Let's hear from, again, from Billy, and then we've got Lauren. Well, that video's not coming up, so go back. All right, let's go. Stand by. We're going to go get Lauren Meadows, the coach. We're going to talk about those two subjects we just discussed. One, Ben, where are they now? What's on the table? And then if you don't like what you see, go away. Go find yourself another team, and we'll see you on the backside. This guy was at the game yesterday. He's the coach, Lauren Meadows. Morning, Lauren. How you doing, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing all right on a Sunday. Some people licking their wounds. Ben and I didn't see. We saw some things we kind of like, which we've been talking about. But you go ahead. You're the coach. Tell me about it.
Well, I mean, I think there were some things that you could take away as positives. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I talked to several Georgia fans on the way into the game and then leaving the game. And right now, I don't think Florida has the horses to compete at a level on a consistent basis with a team like Georgia, arguably the best team in the country.
But not arguably, they are the number one team.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, yeah, they are, but I'm not sure, you know, I think in a street fight, I don't know if, you know, I'm not sure that they would, you know, I mean, I think if they had to play a couple, you know, we'll see this weekend, but yes, the number one team in the country, the best team in the country, if we go with that, and you know, just on a consistent basis, being able to make plays, you know, like Ben said, consistently run the football, move the football on, you know, first and second down where you get into manageable third downs. And I wrote in my article that, you know, it's got to get to a point where Florida can be dynamic organically and not mechanically. And what I mean by organically is the offense has the talent and the scheme to create chunk plays, create excitement, move the defense both vertically and horizontally that a lot of teams are capable of doing instead of mechanically, which is if Anthony Richardson is not sensational, it's really tough for Florida to play at a level of offense that will create a situation where they can pull an upset of this magnitude. And then defensively, I just don't, you know, and we've talked about it for a few weeks now. It's not that they're not in position. It's just that the plays are not being made consistently where you're getting the quarterback on the ground at times. Or, you know, Stetson Bennett probably threw it to the Florida defense six times, and we only brought the groceries home twice. You know, and those are situations where, you know, we just don't seem to be athletically gifted enough at points to win those 50-50 balls and make a play and you know, get ourselves in position. You know, you look at the touchdown to Brock Bowers where, you know, Amari Burney, who played a really good football game yesterday, was in position to make a pick, and that could have flipped field position, different things like that. First series of the game, they throw the ball to Rashad Torrance, hits him square in the breadbasket, which probably would have been a pick six. And it's just, you know, at some point in time, you know, you just have to make those plays, but I'm not necessarily sure we have the parts and parcel top to bottom to be able to make those plays consistently. So I just, you know, you saw a team that's probably a 7-5, 8-4 football team on a good note that lost to a 12-0, 11-1 type football
team. As they were supposed to, by the way. As they were supposed
to. Yes, they were supposed to. So yeah. I think that, you know, I mean, I expected about a 17-point football game. And if one play goes one of the other ways, that's about what you get. So pretty much the way that I expected, you know, I didn't – the only thing I can say is I didn't expect Stetson Bennett to throw it to us as much and us not to necessarily –
Well, I mean, there was a heck of a play on a takeaway that didn't throw it to him. Jadarius Perkins just took it away from him. So right, that's what right. I'm looking for on defense. And let me jump in real fast because we're setting up two questions to talk about with the three of us. Pastor Troopers preached a little this morning already, but I'm looking at it right now to say, okay, where are you now? Where do you think you're going to be? What were the projections and what's reality? And the fact is pretty much what we got right now. That's it. And you know, when you, and I'm going to say this, this is my little, one little point, a little caveat. When you play a team that's borderline great, and maybe, why wouldn't you say great, number one national champion, et cetera, undefeated, what, 22 in a row and all that? When you play a team like that, and number one, they get the breaks, which they did. They got the breaks. The ball bounces your way. Certainly Brock Bowers touchdown. And by the way, credit to him, Ben, making a play as a tight end, no doubt about it. And then on top of that, I'm not saying any of this caused the reason, but a couple of calls were just horrendous. The one they missed where they reversed, they gave pass interference to Georgia when it should have been against Georgia. And even you don't ever hear Gary Danielson, you know, and them talk about that was not a very good call. They missed that one. They openly said it, Brad Nessler and Danielson on TV. They missed that call. Now, was one of those things? Or no, none of that. All that, and you're playing against a team that's really, really great. Your odds of winning the game are not very good. But like people are saying, like Ben said, and what Lauren, you were saying, I think, is you want your team to have that spunk, have that fight. Don't sit there and take a beat down. And I loved it that Anthony Richardson said, okay, I'm taking off all these gears and all this stuff. I'm going to go out and I'm going to play hard. If I get hit, I get hit. I'm going to give it all I got. He inspired other people. They got a couple of good plays. The secondary came through. By the way, the third downs were really good. Right? They made half. They stopped on half the time. And you say, okay, you gave your best effort. It was a one-score game. That's what they asked Billy. And they had that bite, but I can't seem to get it to come up. But what do you think? Well, I saw a one-score game in the third quarter. That's not much, but it's a lot when you're looking to build a team and you need a building brick. Right, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, even what Lauren was saying, the hardest thing to watch is the tape. When you go back and you look at it as a DB, right? They don't give you a lot of layups. They just don't. And you got to make teams pay, because a pick to a quarterback is like a drop to a receiver. That affects their confidence, especially in a team like Florida, for which you expect them to be what you saw them being. I said this. Usually in Florida, Georgia, the team that runs the ball the best wins the game. Florida could not run the ball consistently. And Georgia, they did run the ball consistently. And for us to when it's 28-20, that's when you got to breathe and say, all right, man, fellas, listen, look, we got to be for sure tacklers. It's not like McIntosh and company were just breaking out these huge – we just missing – you cannot miss tackles because there's nobody behind you. A two-yard game become a 17-yard game. Those are chunk – play. So it's outside of Brock Bowers and him and Amari Burney, and that's just a 50-50 that went their way. Nothing Georgia did made you go, oh my God. Like people to my daughter, Darnell Washington had 3 catches, 47 yards. He ain't
Brock Bowers did a little bit to me.
But no, Brock Bowers is a different beast. That's a different animal.
Yeah.
But think about Amari Burney for a second. Amari Burney went into the games. I got
boy, what Brock a game he Bowers played.
One on one. And the ball. And it's a confidence thing. Meaning, if Georgia comes in, if Georgia and Florida come in both undefeated, I guarantee you Amari Burney makes that play because his confidence is there. It's almost like it's not. And obviously I'm speaking for Amari when I'm saying this. The wild factor goes out the window when you're winning. Like I respect you, but if I'm winning too, hey man, you got to prove it. And like I said, I don't care. Well, no, Lauren, you were there when it's 28-20. Look at them Georgia fans. They going what? Because it's how you got to 20. You go 17 unanswered points, and you're getting it through turnovers and making the most of turnovers and different things. The thing about teams is trying to find their identity, it surprises them when they do this stuff. Hey, man, we just scored 17. Great teams know, well, we're going to win this game. And that's the difference in Florida and Georgia to me right now. Georgia says, I don't care what happens. When that time goes off the clock, we're going to have more points than you. It might not be pretty, but we're going to beat you. Florida, we find – it's like people say Anthony Richardson. The best throw he had was on the sideline to Justin Shorter. That is a very, very hard throw to make, and he made it. On the Henderson play, you know what he did? He was looking at that safety. When that safety came down, he threw it to Henderson touchdown, and they let him throw the ball 37 times. 37 times is a lot of throws. I know he had the 3 sacks trying to make plays, but it's what Lawrence said. if number 15 can come into the game and say, hey, man, I could play subpar and we can win, that's when you're good. Because right now, he can't play subpar. Like, think about it. If I'm not on and I get help from my running game, pass protection, defense, and special teams, that's great teams. Because guess who did not play well yesterday? Stetson Bennett didn't play well.
Three straight years, by the way.
And the thing is, and they still won. That's a great team. The quarterback didn't play well. Two touchdowns, two picks. And the other quarterback, they have zero turnovers. That's why I think Florida is right now, is you get the players in there. Because Kirby Smart will tell you this. He'll look, I'm not the greatest coach, but if I get the great players, I don't got to be a great coach. Because I just give them the scheme and let them go. I don't got to be a – so I think that's where we are. We're talking about Florida, Georgia. And like I said, the final score didn't show it. I get that part. But if you don't give up 28 points in the first half and you can have the exact same second half, it's a total – I'm not saying you win the game. But the what you have to do on great teams, you got to keep pressure on them. You can't just put pressure on them. You got to keep pressure on them because I guarantee you they will bust. Every team is like that. But the Rashard Torrance stuff, I agree with you, Lauren. You got to come up with the picks, man. I don't care. You got to do it. Because if Desmond has four picks instead of two, he might throw you another one because now he's seeing people that's not there. Now he's not. Now he's throwing in the closed spaces that he think is open spaces. But I just like the fact that 28-3, everybody was like, "Oh God," right?
Beat down.
17 points, getting turnovers. And then what happened after that? Georgia said, "You know what? Stetson ain't really playing that well. We're just gonna go back to ground and pound. If they can stop us running the football, that's on them." And we just couldn't do it. I just know that when you talk about a team like Florida, you are figuring out who you are every single game. And guess what? The team you got to go up to and play this week, they coming off a loss. They done won three games with the number one recruiting class. So we'll see what happens. But 15 took a big step. Him coming out of the game, no turnovers, right? Let him go through his reads, but teams like Georgia, you can't throw the ball. You can't throw the ball horizontal, man. You're not gonna beat Georgia throwing the ball side to side. You got to get down the field. But I like the fight. I can appreciate it. Billy Napier, don't make excuses. But I do agree with what you said, Lauren. You got the players in there. You got the players in there to help you run this stuff. It makes life so much easier. Because like I said, you know how I know Stetson Bennett might be the least talented player on Georgia's offense. And guess what? They're undefeated. That's what he might be the least talented from O-line, running backs, tight ends, definitely receivers. And guess what? He undefeated. That's what I mean when I say he was a two-star quarterback maybe in a room full of five stars, and he's the starter. Think about it. You think Stetson Bennett will be starting in Florida? No. Not if Anthony Richardson on the team. See the difference? So I'm just saying – We're going to get back to it, though. I like the fight. Like I said, I'm just happy we didn't lay down. The 28-3, people turn the TVs off. They leave in the stadium. They don't want – and if somebody goes, y'all left a little bit too early, man. It didn't – the final score didn't show, but when it's 28-20, they were showing them Georgia sideline. Then people look around like, what's going on, man? They aren't supposed to do this. The problem is Florida didn't think they would be in the game that close. And then – obviously, they give up two late rushing touchdowns in the third and the fourth quarter, and the rest is history. We couldn't really do anything in the fourth.
Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think that's pretty much where we are. I mean, it's a matter of just, like I said, just, you know, continuously getting better. They asked Billy Napier about the talent gap. And he kind of talked about more that execution was the key. You know, I'll disagree with him there. There is a talent gap that I think will improve. And then, you know, I think that Billy Napier, you know, and I told somebody this and, you know, forgive me if I say this, but I'm only saying this maybe because I don't always, and I think you mentioned it too, buddy, I don't always agree with some of the play calls offensively with Billy Napier, you know, being the pseudo offensive coordinator, the play caller. But at the same time, I really like Billy Napier's assistants. And those are going to be the ones that are developing the players that they're going to bring in the next couple years. I think Sale and Stapleton are unbelievable. Obviously, Corey Raymond's reputation speaks for itself. I think I agree with Will Muschamp and others. I think Patrick Toney is a great young defensive mind, and you know we're just not there yet. And so, you know, like you said, you come in, you're playing the defending national champions. We're just not good enough. But you know, to kind of segue, I think where we're going to go with your next question, you know, you and I talked about it in the spring. You know, Ben talked about it as well. Everybody said about 7-5, mm-hmm. 8-4. You know, they sit at 4-4 right now, and they got four winnable games in the next 4 weeks. Win those four, you're 8-4. You drop
one. It's a tall order, but they do. Yeah, you have a tall. And I want to get. Yeah, I want to get to.
But I mean,
yeah,
you got to think they're probably going to be at worst underdogs by maybe 6 points the next 4 weeks. I mean, if they're underdogs, six points. And then they'll be favored against South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, South Carolina getting beat was surprising. All right, so let me get to you. So, let me get to you on this real fast. I want to set this up for you guys can get thoughts. And I'm going to start out by saying good job by our Gator Bait team last night for Lawrence at the stadium. He's got a piece coming out today on the analysis. Good story by Franz. Carlton Reese has posted. We'll have some comment from the players. And Kyle Curtis will be giving you that, and he'll be up soon. Great job by Brendan Martin and the team last night. I've got a piece coming out today talking about what did we learn. And if it's not a moral victory, it's not a moral loss either. And so how do you gauge this? And you, like Ben said earlier, you have to sort of get a progress report. Where are we now? Now, having said that, look at where we are now. And this is a team that, most everybody said 7-5. Vegas, I think, was 7.5, I believe. Mm. I was tempted to, yes. I didn't bet it, but if you go over, fine. They lost by the projected score last night of the line, okay, to the number one team in the nation. I'm not going to sugarcoat this, and I am going to make one comment that's critical, and I certainly expect you guys to respond. The one thing that disappoints me the most, this is on Billy, is they had 2 weeks to come up with something offensively in that first half. I see other teams and coaches doing it. I see throwbacks. I see reverses. I see, I'm not saying gimmick plays. I see coaches doing things not even out of an open day. And, you look at Tennessee, you know. Look at Ole Miss, you know. Kirby, not so much. He's mostly power. I didn't see that spark I had hoped from Billy with a new wrinkle here and there. It looked like he came out and almost wish he'd script plays because it seems like they're just hunting and pecking that first quarter, first half. What works, what doesn't. And they didn't seem like they had a definitive plan. I would like to see Billy come out of that open date with a little more definitive plan. But you know what? They were probably working on defense the whole time, and that did improve some. So having said that, I'll let you go first, Ben, and then you, Lauren. We've got four games on the table here. I'm a little more, I'm not 100%. This could be 6-6 season, all right? I predict it to be 7, but we'll see. And these are games that are eminently losable as well as winnable, and I'm talking about Vanderbilt too. So stuff happens. So as we sit here today, looking back at Florida, Georgia, and what we expected and what happened, and then we look at the team, we look at the progression of Anthony Richardson, we look at the defense getting a little bit better, we look down the road and say, okay, going to College Station to face a desperate team who played a freshman quarterback last night, by the way. Didn't he throw four touchdown passes or something? So, Lauren, Ben, you first. Where do we stand? How about these four games? And is it really reasonable to even think about 8-4?
Absolutely it is. I mean, I would say it's reasonable, even if Texas A&M ain't coming off a loss. I mean, Texas A&M ain't never been world beaters. Texas A&M gets a lot of press in the offseason, not so much in the regular season because of who coaches there and where they play. Texas A&M is in the West. They got Jimbo Fisher. Well, since 2013, ain't been much to talk about. We know he's a national championship winning coach, but ain't been much to talk about. We talk about Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is kind of like they play Florida tough for like a couple of quarters. And we find a way to get away. We find a way to win those games. Spencer Rattler's not who people thought he was going to be when he got to South Carolina. And that's our last game at home. And Florida State, Florida is Florida State, Florida. Like, Florida should go into these games expecting to win. Doesn't mean you're going to win. But the thing, Florida doesn't lose because the team they play is just that much better than them. They do stuff that's coachable. Make tackles. Pick the ball off when they throw it to you. Run the ball. Get off the field on third down on defense. Get pressure with your front four. Stop throwing the ball horizontally and run the ball. Like, I'm sorry. Like I said, Georgia ran away with it in the second half because of what they had in the first half, right? You don't think Tennessee went to that locker room like, whew, because they almost lost. Kentucky, we did not have a good game. And LSU, hey, man, we gave you 35 points on offense. You just gave them 45 points on defense, and they've gotten better since. Florida is not a bad team. They lost to good teams. That's it. They lost a good team. LSU was a good team. Kentucky was a good team because it was early in the season. We didn't really know who they were. You got them early. And you lost to Tennessee and Georgia, who were both undefeated. Most people are going to have L's when you go up against those four teams I just mentioned. So it's not like Florida. And guess what? And you know who? And Utah is still running through the Pac-12 right now. So for me, Florida's supposed to get the same confidence coming out of this Georgia game saying, dude, if we don't do it to ourselves, if we make plays when they're there, if we do the fundamentals, we're going to win these games. We're going to win the next four games if we just do that. I get it if, like what Lauren said, sometimes, Billy, don't get cute with the play calls. You can't do that against Georgia. Like, don't get cute. Just call a play. Let the guys run downfield, go through your progressions. We'll be fine. We did not run the football. I don't see that happen. It's almost like we just abandoned the run. It's almost like Billy Napier was trying to prove, hey, man, I'm going to show y'all how good Anthony Richardson is. I'm going to let him throw the ball 37 times. But you don't got to do that. Let him throw the ball 25 times. But if the run game isn't there, if Florida is one-dimensional on offense, it's going to be hard to win, man. It's going to be hard to win. But, yes, these next four games are very winnable. I'm not shocked with the Texas. I'm shocked that their record is what it is. But they're a middle-of-the-road team, too. And that's since Jimbo
Fisher. Not even middle of the road. They're down below.
Well, I'm just trying to show some. And the thing about, listen, this time last year, right? At the end of the year, I want to say Tennessee was 7-5 at the end of the year. And guess who was their quarterback? Hendon Hooker. So you give them a full year of confidence. I don't know why they still not covering that one receiver. Good Lord. I mean, he's the one that scored four touchdowns. You might want to cover him if you want to win the game.
Yeah, really.
I was 3-3 after my first of these games my senior year. And the next five, you know, we had Arkansas on the road, LSU on the road, Georgia, Vanderbilt, South Carolina on the road. We coming out of those games, we was 8-5. If Florida should expect, let me tell you something, Florida should expect to win the next four, to be 8-4, go to a bowl game, potentially win it, and end up with a 9-4 season. And somebody go, who you lost to? The number one team in the country, Tennessee, who was undefeated. LSU, who's probably the second, LSU the third best team in the West because people don't want to talk about Ole Miss. These freaking guys are good. Thank God we ain't playing them. And I agree with what you said, Lauren. It's like it's all upstairs now, man. Like Texas A&M, we want to get some, because the last time we played them up there, we should have beat them. Get some get back. South Carolina blew the doors off of Florida last year. You want to get some get back with them. Vanderbilt, we respect you, but we're gonna find a way to scratch and claw and get that. And obviously, you got them boys in Tallahassee. They should look forward to these next four because you know, like I know, buddy, blind taste test. If you just look at the end of the 2022 season and say 8-4, it's like a good season to me. They went 8-4. That sounds like an arguable season. And if they can go to a bowl game and win, bowl games don't matter to teams that don't care about records. But a team like Florida, you get to that bowl game and win it, you go 9-4. Like I said, we wasn't going to no national championship in our first year. So they're going 12-0. No, they're not. That's Florida has never had an undefeated regular season, I don't think, but we'll be fine. And like I said, Lauren and Buddy, now it's all right, breathe. We're not gonna see no tight ends like Brock Bowers again, thank God.
Yeah, really.
You're not gonna have a quarterback as athletic as Hendon Hooker. Right? That's over with. You're not going to play a team as good as Georgia. That you've literally been through the ringer. I've seen it all at this point. Now we should be let Jimbo Fisher still wallow in his sorrow, go up there to Kyle Field and get a dub, go to Nashville and get a dub, get a dub at home and travel across the state, you know, travel to the panhandle, last game of the season, you know, and let's be fighting for respectability, a part of that big three in the state of Florida. But I like our chance our next four, because no time to feel sorry for yourself, man.
Yeah, and Lauren, as you find, I'm just looking at the SEC standings right now, because the reality, the shock of the reality, we know Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee are the cream of the crop. No question there. And then it drops on Ole Miss, no LSU are good. But the rest of it drops off the face of the earth, guys. Think about this. You talk about over in the West, you got Mississippi State is now 2-3 in the SEC. They were playing great. Arkansas now is 2-3. Texas A&M is 1-4 in the SEC, and Auburn is 1-4. And on the East, besides Georgia, Tennessee, and one of them will have a loss this week, you've got all these teams. Missouri, 2-3. South Carolina, 2-3. Kentucky, the team everybody says is going to finish second, 2-3. Florida, 1-4, and Vandy, 0-4. Now, look, think about it. You ain't got to jump up. You ain't got to win many games to jump up there, right? Behind the best teams in the conference, and the best team, by the way, in the country. I'm not so sure Tennessee isn't number one in the country. So if you measure that yardstick and say, well, how do we play against Tennessee? Pretty darn good. Lauren, your thoughts. Where do you go from here? What do you see in the way it wins?
I look at two numbers, the number 4 and the number 15. And if I was addressing the team and I'm putting on my coaching hat, this is a 4-game season. And like Ben said, we had an opportunity with our schedule to find out where we are. We had one catastrophic debacle, Tennessee. We had one really monumental win in Billy Napier's first game, Utah. And then we had some games where, you know, we probably were outmatched, Tennessee and Georgia. And then we left a little bit on the field against LSU. So, you know, you have a situation where, you know, now it's a 4-game season. What do we want to accomplish? Well, if we win 4 of those games, like Ben said, we get to 8-4. And if we win 2 of those games, we get to 6-6. And in either way, what that gives you is the number 15 is 15 more practices, which is what this team needs more than anything. Absolutely. It is for Billy Napier to have the opportunity to get with his football team, those that will be returning, those that want to go out with a bang and don't want to opt out, which I wouldn't see why anybody would want to opt out, because in a bowl game, actually, with some of the way that the up and down season some of the people have had on both offense and defense, is an opportunity to showcase yourself and make you a little bit more money, if you know what I'm saying. So, but I think those 15 practices are going to be key. But, you know, I would say let's scrap everything that happened before we got to Jacksonville, or after we leave Jacksonville, and it is a 4-game season. Game 1 is Saturday at 12 o'clock, 11 Central Time in College Station. And then, you know, we got to go to South Carolina. It's your last home game, seniors. Go out with a bang. You know, Vandy, I told somebody, Vandy is tough because, and Ben, you probably know this, if you ever been to Nashville in November, and, you know, that's probably going to be an 11 o'clock Central Time start. That will probably be Billy Napier's, one of his biggest coaching jobs, is to get his team fired up to play in what I think is one of college football's worst stadiums, worst atmosphere. And although there'll probably be more Florida fans than Vandy fans, so it might be a pseudo home game. And just be ready to play. And like Ben said, the uniqueness of the Florida-Florida State rivalry at Ron Zook Field. I know, Ben, you'll like that. And, you know, a Friday night tilt, 7 o'clock, unique atmosphere for the game. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think that they have an opportunity. But I will caution, like you said, buddy, there has to become a little bit more. I mean, the imagination is what, for someone who has been lauded as an offensive guru, play caller, that, you know, I got to be a little bit critical of Coach Napier with all due respect. I just don't see some of the, like you said, buddy, the shock plays that force the eye discipline of the opposing defense and create those situations, like you said, reverses and pop passes and double passes and just some things that allow us to maybe garner some chunk plays, like I said, organically without depending on Anthony Richardson, who is quite the young man, to be special every play. And I think that's where we're going to have to get to muster out four wins, you know, to get all four wins in the four remaining games.
All right, I'm going to make a projection, then you guys can wrap it up. Anthony Richardson, I know there's a lot of reasons why this will be booed and people won't agree with it. And I know that easy for me to talk about because it's not my money. Anthony Richardson needs to stay at Florida one more year to become a complete quarterback, which he can do. He can get 25% better than he is right now. He's going to get the millions, okay? Again, think about that. He's a Gainesville guy, Ben. He grew up right there. He's a local hero. He loves being who he is. He's handling the pressure and whatever and signing autographs for kids, doing great. He's grown as a young man. That money's going to be there. I say, and everybody tells me I'm wrong, go get the money in an NIL deal. I said this before. Get him a $30 million insurance policy, whatever it takes, you know, in case it happens because he's injury prone. Bring the young man back. Give him some receivers. Go to the portal. You got to get in that portal. Get some more players on defense, some front seven guys, and some wide receivers. Come out, and maybe they could be Tennessee next year. They could be what Tennessee is this year, in my opinion. So I say go get some money and keep him here one more year. That's how I feel about it.
Listen, he got plenty of money now. I ain't counting his money. I ain't counting it. But I will say this. No, Anthony Richardson, I think, is going to come back because Anthony Richardson want to know what it feels like to be a headliner. Yeah. I was like, Anthony, look. Yeah. Hey, man, you feel it now? Like, no matter what, pride and ego is what gets you through sports. My pride won't let me leave like this. My ego is like, look, man, because no matter what, right, every single time I take the field, that's my legacy. Every individually and collectively. And the thing about Anthony Richardson is this. Hendon Hooker came back because I want a full year. Everybody thought Stetson Bennett was going to do the Jerome Bettis. I just won that championship. I'm going. He go, dude, I love this. I love this feeling. Plus, y'all know what I had to do to get here? I'm the same Stetson Bennett that nobody wanted. Everybody want JT Daniels. They want anybody not named Bennett. And I'm the one that got us there. You are Anthony Richardson. You got, Gatorade, Fanatics. I mean, he's getting national NIL deals. So he went from two cars to one car because the one he had a heavy foot. And you don't give no 20-year-old a car with that much horsepower. You just don't do that. But Anthony Richardson wants to know what it's like to get Florida back. You know how? I give you one name, Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask came in for Felipe Franks, and that next year, that boy went from backup to Heisman Trophy finalist. All I'm saying, and what number did he wear? He wore the old ball. He wore the head man's number. So I just think that for Anthony Richardson, right, it's a much easier decision. Somebody goes NIL. That's so that you got some money, you good, you got that notoriety, but do you want to be a headliner? And I think he does. And the thing is, these last four games, five, count bowl games, we're going to learn a lot about Anthony Richardson. But if I am him, I'm thinking to myself, all right, man, what's the rush? Meaning, people are going to say, he can get hurt. He can get hurt right now.
Yeah.
He can get hurt every time. Like when people say he can get hurt every time he go out there, but he still goes out there. I think he does come back. He's going to make it dramatic. Nowadays, when I was in college, you just come back. I don't got to do I'm coming back my senior year. Now everything is, I'm bringing my talents back or what may have you.
But you're an old man, Ben. You're an old man. You know how to do it, how to pick the hats and all that kind of stuff.
It took me 3 years to figure out in Florida. My senior year, I understood. Everybody to be a headliner means you're gonna get all the praise when you win, you're gonna get all the criticism when you lose. And that's just how it is. For Anthony Richardson, I think he will come back. I hope he does. I hope it's good Lord. But at the same time, Anthony Richardson knows that no matter what, they're looking at him. I don't care what the defense is doing for real. We are. Mm-hmm. And Lord, you know how it is. And once he can get under center and say, man, you don't got to be super every play. You can be, but you don't got to be. You don't got enough energy to do that every play, man. You threw the ball 37 times. Justin Short is getting better. Pearsall don't make waves, which he could have coming over from, Arizona State, a really, really good college. Henderson is getting better. I think that for me, I hope that Anthony Richardson comes back because, like I said, this boy, when he get his NIL deals, Gatorade, That boy was drinking Gatorade his whole life. Now he get paid to drink it. And now all this other type of stuff. I ain't mad at him. Get you. Listen, man, you the starting quarterback in Florida. That comes with dollars. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. But if he comes back next year, Lauren, you know, you can speak to it. Now, because this is me, and I know Anthony Richardson, it ain't really pressure this year. I know he feels – it's not really – because Florida isn't expected to do things. Now, 2023, okay. Now, that's a little bit different because there is no Stetson Bennett. There is no Hendon Hooker. There is no Will Levis. There is no, you know, Will Rogers. Them guys gone. Now when you go to Atlanta, wherever SC Media Days are, now, uh-oh, okay. So I think that he get to kind of figure out how to deal with it this year. Not right now, it's just feedback. It ain't criticism. It's just feedback. But now, that's Anthony Richardson. You know, the starting quarterback of Florida, I think next year, I think it's 2022 is grooming him for 2023 because he comes back next year. Now, hey, Anthony, hey, man, yeah, either cut your Twitter
off. He's Hendon Hooker, like you said. He could be Hendon Hooker.
Because what? But and to me, I would hope in the offseason, Hendon Hooker sits down with it. See, this is what doesn't happen. Hendon Hooker tells, because Hendon Hooker could tell, he could tell Anthony Richardson, I know you don't believe this. Tennessee is a huge brand too, homie. We run the state of Tennessee just like y'all run the state of Florida. You know that, right? Y'all got three NFL teams. I know we got the Titans, but because big time players need to talk to big time players to tell them this is what's coming, man. I put Tennessee on my back when we were scratching and clawing to beat Vanderbilt. We not too many years removed from that. Tennessee couldn't beat Vandy. Now them boys got three, four?
Yeah.
Going to Georgia for everything. Because, Lauren, you know this. It don't mean a thing if you don't get that ring. If they can't win on Saturday, it's all for naught, right? Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Tennessee got to they got to make miracles happen, break out all black uniforms, and they got orange lights shooting up at the state. But it don't mean nothing. And Hendon Hooker is telling Anthony Richardson, boy, I know you don't get a chance to play at Georgia, but if I win up there, I just went from having a legendary game, so I'm a legend, period. I'm a legend for life. So I hope that Hendon Hooker does sit down with her because that's the guy that's most similar, even though I don't think Hendon Hooker is more talented than Anthony Richardson, but his talent is coming out, and he came from the freaking ACC to get it done. So, yeah, I hope Anthony Richardson comes back. You know, $1 million I thought was a lot of money. Maybe it's not the quarterback season. I don't know. You go from broke to a million. I don't know. I ain't counting his money. But I think he does come back, Lauren, only because I just think the pride in him won't let him. Even if we go 4-8-4, 9-5, he wants to go to Atlanta. He wants to win the East. I would think that. But, you know, that's me sitting here old man now, man, talking about these young men. But I think he's going to come back, buddy, because – you know, like I said, I can deal with, oh, well, I can't deal with what if you would have, what if, I think the what if factor will have him coming back.
Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think they don't, Fanatics and Gatorade don't pay the third string quarterback in the NFL, but they pay the starting quarterback in Florida.
Great point.
So, I mean, if you look at the opportunities that he's been given in really NIL's first full year, the opportunity to really, you know, improve his brand, being one of Gainesville's native sons, you know, who better a spokesman for Gatorade, the birthplace, you know, the birthplace of the drink. And I think that's the risk he's running. Even if he's a first rounder, you're looking at Anthony Richardson. Yeah, like I said, he would probably be basically a three on any NFL roster because they would see him as talented as he is.
He's going to sit for three years, too, at least.
Yeah. It goes sit for 3 years, and you don't get Fanatics and Gatorade and Dodge and those places. They don't give those offers. You might get some free shoes as the three on a pro roster, and that's about it. So the opportunity to really build NIL, provide for his family, but like Ben said, really leave his mark on a team that he grew up watching on a campus. You know, he grew up 10 minutes from Florida's campus. It's just written, and not only is there no more Hendon Hooker, Stetson Bennett, but there's no more Bryce Young, there's no more C.J. Stroud. I mean, he will be the talk of college football the entire offseason, and I think not only being the talk, I think that he and Billy Napier, who he has seems to have the utmost respect for, can really build the camaraderie that is necessary between play caller and quarterback to take your offense to the next level, where they almost, you know, they almost know what the other is thinking in between plays. And also gives Anthony Richardson time to sit this offseason, look at 12, maybe 13 games of film and say, you know, I really like this, or I didn't like this. Or even maybe harken back to some of the concepts they used under the old regime and say, how can we call that in our terminology? You know, I really like that. I thought that was good, and go from there. I mean, I would think that it would be in his best interest from financially, spiritually, socially to give it another year. And I think that I look forward to, you know, I think Billy Napier is going to go out and get some grown men, if you know what I'm saying, up front. And I just think he'll have a lot better team around him going into next year. You know, people always, I mean, and I want to tell people this, and I want to throw this out because I've been waiting to say this. Everybody, I've argued with people the entire year how fast Xavier Henderson is. Usually how fast Xavier Henderson was after he caught that ball.
78 yards.
No, I mean, they better be lucky they got a cameraman chasing him and not a freaking ref.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see the ref.
Right.
The ref was like,
as long as
he don't step out, he gone. That was nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, anytime you take it more than, you know, less than two steps every 5 yards, you get it. I mean, that's at least a 4 or 5. So
putting him up and laying him down, man, he was doing that. Flying. Good point. Yeah.
So I thought he was like, he's 6'4"? Is he 6'4"?
No,
he's about 6'2 and a half, 6'3". Yeah. But I mean, you know, 400 meter runner, ran 47, sub-47 in high school. I mean, he can move. And so I think that, you know, you look at some of the weapons that he has coming back. I mean, Pearsall, you know, if he chooses to come back as well, and I think he will, is growing. And I think they're going to be in a good position. I mean, you know, very talented backs.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a. You know, they'll have to find a capable replacement for Torrence, because I think Torrence is, you know, going to find himself as a first round draft pick. But yeah, I think Anthony Richardson would do well to come back.
By the way, Henderson is 6'3".
He's 6'3".
So you weren't that far off.
All I know was when he. It's almost like when it happened and Richardson hit him. I mean, he was like, listen, I mean, you know, I know this is a family show, but all you saw was ass and elbows. That's all you saw. No, that's it. That's all you saw, right? That's what and that's what they say. And that's what they say. I'm leaving. But that's the thing too, right? You know, when you think about Xavier Henderson coming here after his brother was the first round pick, look, I'm gonna go get my own legacy on the offensive side of the ball. It's a lot of guys that great storylines, great young men. And I think that you got solid people helping with these building blocks. Anthony Richardson, look, no one's going to be mad at him. Well, I'm not going to be mad. Most of us ain't gonna, if he does decide to go pro. But if he comes back, it's because he's saying, look, man, I don't want to just be hype. I don't want to just be athleticism. I want my play on the field to speak for me. Because if every time somebody gets, is he 6'4", is he 235, can he run? That's great. That's great that he has all the physical tools. Can he do it on Saturday? And to me, I think he can, because he's in. I mean, this is his first year in the system. I was in Ron Zook's second year in that, you know, in that Zon Breaker system. But when I'm comfortable in what I'm doing, when I know what the play is, the concept is, I know why they're calling it. I know who's the first read. I know who's just a dummy route. It makes me play better when somebody's saying, "True, why are you running so fast on this play?" Because I'm trying to clear out because Kite coming underneath, or I got caught. That's me understanding, because that's what they're going to show them. And they're going to say, "Hey, if you don't think your boy True care about you, look how fast he getting to that safety cap, Kite." That's why all you got to do is break a tackle. And to me, that's what I think Florida's building. I think you got a guy named Anthony Richard. Look, if I'm Henderson and those guys, I'm like, look, man, what I got to do? I ain't got no money, bro. But what I got to do to get you to come back? Because that's what college is. College is, man, we can do this, bro.
And on that note, as we wrap this thing up, here's the deal. You might make millions playing pro football, okay? You might play 20 years and never get hurt. But how often would you have an opportunity, maybe, if you want to dream big, to get yourself a statue? Think about that. if they could come back and beat Tennessee next and beat Tennessee and win a national champ, you may laugh, but we're about to see it maybe happen in Tennessee. What would life be like for Anthony Richardson, not only a hometown hero, but a guy who's got his own statue? If he wins a national championship, he might get that. That's why, if I'm him, I'm coming back, brother. I'm playing for the Gators during the year.
I hope he does come back. I think that's the world that we live in now. The NIL stratosphere is working for him. Divity, I think you make the greatest point ever, Lauren. This is what we don't get about NIL. I've already introduced myself as a, quote, amateur athlete to these big brands. So why would they not continue those relationships if I'm a first-round pick? That makes life even easier for them. Hey, I go from this to that. And like I said, too, man, Anthony Richardson, he's making so much money, they don't even put his stuff out. They're like, but let's wait until the Gatorade. Let's wait. It's working out for him. He's fine. You know, he's fine. I just think that for him, he should have that I want it all mentality. If I'm getting it with NIL, I'm at Florida, why not leave with the SEC championship, SEC Eastern Division,
yeah,
a chance to go to the college football playoff?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I want to see if you got the quarterback, you got a shot to make it. Name a team.
That's it. You got to have that quarterback. Exactly right.
But like I said, everybody, the Javon Dexes of the world, the Amari Burners of the world, mm-hmm, the Brent Cox of the world, those guys know that they have to talk about Anthony Richardson every other day.
Yeah.
You know, as long as their girlfriends ain't asking about him,
yeah,
they good, Lauren.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, you got 30 seconds, Lauren. I got to go. Give me your final 30.
I'm just Gator fans, buckle up for these next 4 weeks. It's going to be interesting, and it could go either way. But I think we have 4 winnable games. An opportunity to make a solid bowl game, allow our team to develop a little bit more, and I'm gonna leave it at that. I think we need to get a little bit more imaginative on offense. That's something I look forward to the next 4 weeks to see where we go. And continue to get better on defense.
All right, we're going to go out with this, guys. Don't forget, Orange and Blue Blood Sunday.
Repeat after me. I believe in the boys and girls of old Florida.
I believe in the boys and girls of old Florida.
In all kinds of weather.
In all kinds of weather.
And I won't back down.
And I won't back down.
Sorry.